Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzyland Bray, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother on the west side of Los Angeles, Nando Vila. What's going on, man?
How's it going, man? Fucking getting ready for Thanksgiving. Are you going anywhere?
No, I'm going to be here in L.A. Nice. Got a Friendsgiving on Sunday.
Fuck yeah.
So looking forward to that, and then I'm going to do Thanksgiving with a couple with my buddy and his wife, who are, you know, they're East Coasters, but they're staying in L.A. Nice. I got a cousin who lives in San Diego who's going to drive up to hang out with us. So, you know, going to do that. Are you going to Miami?
No, I'm going to Europe. In Europe.
Ah, fancy pants. Yeah. Going to be getting into lots of trouble over there, I hope.
Hell yeah, always.
So on today's show, man, not a crazy amount of news outside of obviously what's happening abroad in the Middle East with the atrocities being committed by the Israeli army in their retaliation against Hamas and the Palestinian people. But, you know, I think just monitoring this UAW stuff, I think, is pretty interesting. Jacobin's coverage has been incredible. Just want to talk about a couple of things on that side. But first, man, this spat between this congressman, what's his first name? His last name is Mullen. What's his first name? Senator.
Mark Wayne. Mark Wayne. Yeah,
he's a senator. Mark Wayne Mullen.
Yeah, but not two words. What state is he from? From Oklahoma, but it's Mark Wayne, not two words. It's one word.
So it's him and... No, okay, I'm an idiot. Elizabeth Warren is from Oklahoma, but she's a Massachusetts senator. I'm like, wait, hold on. Yes. This is like, So this
because
guy is
Mark Clayton Mullen is the second member of the second citizen of the Cherokee Nation to be elected to the Senate.
The first being Elizabeth Warren, right? Pocahontas.
Yes. That's a fact. Yes, I'm not looking it up. That's a fact.
She lied about being Indian. That is crazy.
The video of Trump with the 200-year-old Native Americans who were the Wind Talkers in World War II? They were World War II vets. Remember that movie, The Wind Talkers? They were like these Native Americans that they used like their native language to do codes in World War II.
I'm not familiar with this. No.
Whatever. It's like based on a true story, and some of those guys are still alive, or at least were when Trump was president, and they looked fucking old as shit, because you can imagine they're World War II veterans.
Right.
And they're doing some sort of ceremony at the White House. I'll find the video and we can splice it in later, but they're doing some sort of ceremony at the White House, and Trump is like, you know, you're very beautiful people. We love you. You know, and you were here first. You were here first, along with another senator they call Pocahontas.
You and Senator Pocahontas are the First Nations, are part of the First Nations of this land. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And so Sean O'Brien of the Teamsters, obviously we covered the Teamsters and the UPS's landmark contract. This is an incredible win for obviously the Teamsters, but workers everywhere. They were up at Capitol Hill. Under what auspices, like what was the point of this guy being up there?
So it was a hearing on it was a hearing on the kind of like some sort of labor committee that Bernie is the chair of. And it basically was meant to discuss, you know, the latest events with the UAW and the Teamsters, you know, like, and Bernie was trying to like bring them on to the Senate to have them talk about their strike actions and their negotiations and to show how, you know, organized labor really delivers the goods. So they were, you know, they were there at some, at some hearing, you know, and it was called like the, I think it was called like the HELP committee. And it was like one of those acronyms. I'll look it up now, but it was just like a one of these kind of many hearings that happens in the Senate at any given moment. And this one, it says Bernie trying to get those guys in the Senate floor, just trying to get them FaceTime with senators to talk about what it is they've been up to.
Yeah. And so, again, this is just like, all right, you know, you guys did this great thing for American workers. Let's get you up there. But John Wayne Mullen had other ideas as he's on this panel. And Jerv, if you could, because he, so we want to show you what he did on this panel if you haven't already seen it. But just know that the guy went on a fucking victory tour afterwards. So please cue that up for us, Jerv.
Senator, I got to be honest. I don't think this is going to hurt you with the people of Oklahoma. I think your popularity probably will go up tenfold as a result of that. He called you out. You called him out for calling you out. And that's kind of old school the way it used to be, isn't it?
Right. Well, yeah, it is. And in Oklahoma, I mean, people tell me, I've had media come up to me and says, this isn't coming of a senator. I was like, listen, I'm a guy from Oklahoma first. In Oklahoma, you don't do this. Maybe you run your mouth in New Jersey. I don't know. I'm not from New Jersey, but this is some thug. That's a mob boss. And you're supposed to be intimidating because he's the boss of the Teamsters. But and he's got away with this. He's got suspended by his own Teamsters before for intimidation. He's been in trouble multiple times. He in 2022, he said he wanted to bring the mob mentality back to the Teamsters. It, maybe that's true, but you still aren't going to run your mouth at me and expect me to just sit there. And you should have seen the fear of his eyes when I stood up, too. I'm not joking. I'm not looking for a fight. I used to get paid to fight professionally. I'm not really looking for it, but I'm sure not going to sit back and let somebody do that and not call them out on it.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I love these people on social media. I call them the keyboard warriors, usually that's in their basement. You know, basement bunkers, you know, in their underwear, and they're all tough on you know, social media. Then you call them out on it. They're not so tough. You know, it is interesting, though, when you think of the left today, you know, if you use the wrong pronoun in school, boy, the left will absolutely lose it.
Hold on, Jervs. Jervs, please, it was a little bit of a different time.
Well, me and my friends, when we played.
Because I found the original. I found the original actual footage of this guy.
I love how he's just like, I love how he's just talking about Sean O'Brien. He's like, oh, he's just a mob boss, you know, like as if he's fucking, you know, like Jimmy Hoffa in The Irishman, you know, like whacking people and shit. Like, come on. You know?
He's bringing that mentality here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold up. I don't know why it's not popping up. I don't know if you, there you go. Hold up. Let me. because you guys
get from statistics. All right. Now, let's talk about Mr. O'Brien himself, his behavior. As everybody knows, and it's here in the last time, him and I kind of had a back and forth. Appreciate your demeanor today. It's quite different. But after you left here, you got pretty excited about the keyboard. In fact, you tweeted at me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And let me read what the last one said. It said, greedy CEO who pretends like he's self-made. Sir, I wish you was in the truck with me when I was building my plumbing company myself. And my wife was running the office because I sure remember working pretty hard and long hours. Pretends like he's self-made. What a clown. Always has been, always will be. Quit the cuff guy act in these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, anytime, cowboy.
Hold on. First of all, Dando, I love the idea of this Northeastern cat calling an Oklahoman a cowboy.
Yokel. Yeah, like a fucking country yokel. This fucking Okie.
Click your heels, Okie. Yeah. We got time for your bitch ass today.
This is kind of old school. I like this like white on white crime between like a fucking, you know, Mick from the Northeast. Yes. And some fucking like, you know, hayseed from Oklahoma. Like, I love it.
And he's from New England, I believe. Which by the
Sean
way,
O'Brien?
Like,
yeah, I think he's from Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Those dudes fight.
I went to school in Boston. I had a couple moments there where I was like, this shit could fucking turn ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Senator Mullen, you can tell he's getting really riled up now. The cowboy part, he could tell that like this city slicker was like trying to get in his ass. And we continue on.
Sir, this is a time, this is a place. You want to run your mouth? We can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Hold, stop it.
Is that your solution, every problem?
No. Sit down. Sit down. Okay. You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Oh, okay.
Sit down, please.
All right.
Can I respond?
Hold it. If we can, no, I have the mic. I'm sorry.
This is what he said.
You'll have your time.
Okay.
Can I respond?
Oh, no, you can't. This is a hearing. And God knows the American people have enough of contempt for Congress. Let's not make it worse.
I don't like thugs and bullies.
I don't like you because you just described yourself.
Hold it. Come on.
All right, just stay. Then let's do this because I did challenge you and I accepted your challenge and you went quiet.
No, I didn't go quiet. Challenged me to a cage match, like a 12-year-old schoolyard bully.
Excuse me. Hold it. No, excuse me.
I will say exactly.
Senator Mullen, I have the mic. You have questions on any economic issues, anything that said, go for it. We're not here to talk about physical abuse.
And, and let me show you his hearing because I want to expose this thug to who he is.
If you're not pointing at me, that's disrespectful.
Oh, man, it's just too good.
It's so good. So the thing is, like, this guy, Mark Quain with one word, went on Hannity, and he made it seem like O'Brien was just, like, talking shit right to his face, and, like, you know, he had no choice but to stand up. But this guy, like, went out of his way to print out some fucking tweets,
yeah,
read them out loud, and then challenge him. It was like, you know, like O'Brien's tweets. I mean, I don't know. I guess you can construe it as a challenge to fight, but I think he was just more like we should just like meet and talk it out like face to face, like instead of just, I don't know, like and I think he was a little surprised, O'Brien, when he was like, oh, you mean like, he's like, this is a time and place. Like, we can do it right now. He's like, yeah, sure. Let's do it right now. I don't think he meant like,
for real, like, you don't want to discuss why. What I do is worthwhile, and people like you are you know, dick sucking assholes. Like, it's but clearly this Mullen dude, you know, he's got his MMA certificate. He's been in an official cage match fight. Yeah. He clearly wants to demonstrate, like, I fight. I can fight. Yeah. I can beat this dude up. And his pointing, this he's basically cutting a wrestling promo. For those of you at home who used to watch WWE, WCW, ECW, but we continue on.
All right. I don't care about respecting you at all.
I don't respect you at all.
So all right, hold it. No.
You're one of the most elite people.
Please. All right. This is a, excuse me. This is a hearing to discuss economic issues. All right. If you have questions for Mr. O'Brien or anybody else on what he has said, go for it. But we're not here to talk about fights or anything else.
I'm quoting exactly what he said.
You can say what you want.
This is your witness you brought. And let me, I'm exposing him.
You can talk
anything. So in 2013, O'Brien was suspended by the Teamsters for intimidating your own members. In 2014, you were part of, what would you say, organizing the harassment, intimidation of the top shelf crew. Top chef. Okay. And then, and I think in the reports they said sexual racist and homophobic slurs and death threats, 14 tires were sliced and 5 Teamsters were arrested. And you said, well, I had nothing to do with it. But however, in that same statement, you said, but if I get called to testify, I'll plead the fifth. This is a witness you brought in here. In 2017, you were removed as lead negotiator by then President Hoffa for UPS for your actions. And then in 22, when this guy was elected, what he said after he got elected was he wanted to bring the mob mentality back to the Teamsters. This is your guy.
And you're obviously going to give him a chance to respond to your questions.
Absolutely, because this is my question. Because you called me out. I didn't call you out.
Yeah,
you said anytime, any place.
Let's get the record straight.
Miss, hold it. No.
Hold on.
Ms. Senator Mullen, do you have a question for the witness?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So, anytime, any place.
No, that's
April,
not.
April is a charity event.
No, that's not.
He wants to fight.
He is here to
tell. No. Parameters and what the questions can or cannot be asked. And I'll ask.
No, you're not going to. We're not going to be talking about physical confrontation.
Oh, this is about charity for a union charity because this is firefighters. And
you have a question on his testimony.
April,
grow up, please.
You have a question on his. Let's not be.
You said it.
You're embarrassed.
You said it, and I'm just simply answering it.
You reached out. Hold it. Senator Mullen, you made some charges. Mr. O'Brien, do you want to respond to the question?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality of it is, Mr. Mullen, tough guy.
Answer the questions.
All right, y'all won. He made a lot of statements, right? And his statements are fiction at best.
Fiction, I read them.
Can you hear?
What?
Answer the question. I can't understand.
The UPS guy in the back is killing me.
What was your question, actually?
You said I made a lot of statements.
No, but what's your question? I don't understand your question. Could you repeat it?
You said anytime, any place.
What's your question?
Accept the challenge.
What challenge?
You said anytime, any place. I'm accepting yours, so why don't you come
What
back?
Challenge? What challenge are you talking
April
about?
April 30th. How about we do it for a charity at the Smoking Guns in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
We're not going to be talking about physical confrontations here.
You want to fight me?
What do you say by anytime, any place?
Let's have coffee. Discuss our differences.
That's
right. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's funny how you're back.
Okay. I don't back on anything.
You did.
You're the one. You're a 100.
Senator.
Should be the most influential people in this country making changes. Senator, you're focused on.
Okay.
You're focused on debate. It's not even relevant. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment.
Look. An
embarrassment to the state of
Oklahoma. This hearing is about the condition of the working class in America.
You're the biggest thug here.
You brought him in.
You're the biggest thug. Even your colleagues call you.
Why you do what you're doing, Senator Hassan?
Thank you very much.
Dude, this is like...
Oh, my God. This is the U.S. Senate, y'all.
I never really thought about potential of an MMA fighter making it to the U.S. Senate, but I didn't even know that I had never heard of this guy before this thing. So I guess he's doing a good job in making himself known. But, you know, he is an MMA fighter, and it's like his top issue is like MMA issues. I was just reading on his Wikipedia, under the political positions section, the first one that comes up is regulation of mixed martial arts. Mullen wants to extend federal boxing regulations to the practices of mixed martial arts businesses, such as Ultimate Fighting Championship. His 2016 proposed legislation would have forced the UFC to share financial information with fighters and create an independent ranking system. So, that's like his. That's what he's in the Senate for, is to regulate MMA.
This is nuts. This is nuts, dude. How many MMA guys probably exist in the country? Like 10,000, maybe? Like, dudes who are like really pursuing this professionally, like in a country of 330 million. This is what this guy is up there to do. Well, I just had to play that because this guy really got up, fixed his ring. Like, he was really like, yo, yeah, I will fight you.
Yeah.
On the Senate floor, like on the floor of this hearing. And, you know, Sean O'Brien is like, this is clownish behavior, but just completely hilarious, dude.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's again, like it's just goes to show, I mean, just how shambolic the American political system has become. I mean, I guess you could argue, you know, yes, I know, before you tweet at me, Thaddeus Stevens was beaten on the Senate floor.
Yes, yeah, we get it.
You know,
who cares?
Yeah, we get it. Who cares? You know, there weren't cameras back then, you know?
Yeah.
and yeah, I mean, it's just, it is cool, I think, in a way, to see the fact that we have these two labor leaders now who aren't just part of the system. You know, like they're not just like cogs in the machine the way labor leaders have been for decades. Like between Sean Fain, the UAW head, and Sean O'Brien, the Teamsters head, they actually are guys who are down not to fight physically, but to literally fight for their union in a way that just it hasn't happened in American politics in a long time. When's the last time you saw a union leader make waves in anything? You know, they're just their mandate was always to just like keep quiet, keep their head down, make a deal and move on, you know, and like these guys aren't going to do that. They're going to ruffle some feathers and they're going to incur the wrath of the political class because there's nothing that a political class that is captured by capital and both parties are 100% captured by capital. There's nothing that really throws them off more than a powerful labor leader. So, yeah, I mean, it's just hilarious. They don't know how to deal with it either. And so like they're just resorting to the old tricks that used to work like 50 years ago, you know, accusing them of being ties to the mafia. Like, does the mafia even exist anymore? Like, in what universe? Like, does in New York, is the mafia still like an actual thing? I mean, I'm sure
it's a thing, but they're not, you know, making all this money from all kinds, every single freaking union shop in the city. They're not siphoning off of funds from like literally every union, you know, the electricians union, the freaking carpenters union, like every union, these guys had their hands in their pockets and they could price fix and they could do all kinds of crazy shit and money schemes. Like, it's not like that anymore. They're not as prevalent as they used to be. But, you know, it's just hilarious to even invoke that as like this old timey, like, oh, these union guys, they're mobbed up, hey? They're pretty corrupt, hey? Like, it's such a passe way.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer. And I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Of describing it, but, you know, again, we keep talking about this labor activity because they're the only ones moving the needle at all for American workers at the moment, which brings us to the UAW, and they're going to try to unionize Tesla. Obviously, if you have a car, if you've been in the market for a car, you realize that the future is electric vehicles. And many of the all electric vehicle companies that have just popped up in the U.S., Tesla being number one, are non-unionized shops. And obviously, the UAW understands that in order for survival and to grow in influence, they need to unionize these electric car companies. They've taken strides with the big three to unionize the next fleet of electric cars, which was obviously a big ass deal because, again, the future is electric. But Tesla is a whole different ball of wax. And I want to read something from Jacobin, this according to a source with Bloomberg who's familiar with the efforts of UAW to penetrate Tesla, specifically here in California, where they have their biggest car plant. The UAW has committed to providing whatever resources are necessary for the campaign. That campaign will be a war, with Musk likely playing a role similar to that of Howard Schultz at Starbucks. Both corporate leaders remain closely involved with the companies they founded, and Musk is more openly antagonistic to worker organizing than even Schultz was before his employees began their organizing drive. He also has a higher tolerance for bad press. Last year, Musk tweeted, "A union is just another corporation," and he fired dozens of workers at Tesla facility in New York the day the news broke of their organizing drive with Workers United, which represents Starbucks workers. So, you know, like, this is a big deal, man. And again, this is where the next fight is. And part of why they could get all of these concessions, guys, is because they had all three automakers had unionized shops, meaning they could exert pressure on any individual one if somebody tried to act, you know, out of step. And so, and again, once they got a win for one plant, the other company had to hurry up and get on board because they were getting beat to the punch when work started at these other companies, right? And so the same truth holds for these electric car companies. Like, it's only going to make the union stronger. But, man, obviously we see how hard Jeff Bezos has been fighting with what they've been trying to put together at Amazon. We know Elon is going to go just as fucking hard.
Yeah. No, and listen, the Tesla and Amazon probably are the two golden goose companies in terms of unionization efforts. They are right at the heart of the future of the American economy and the current state of the American economy. Like, the Starbucks labor campaign was amazing and super inspiring, but like, at the end of the day, there's just coffee shops, you know. The manufacturing of electric vehicles, of which Tesla is still the leader, is the future of manufacturing in America and the world. And obviously Amazon is kind of the defining corporation of our current existence. Its touch points in all our lives are almost impossible to fathom. The amount of packages we ship every single day from Amazon, the amount of retail that passes through Amazon, the amount of our internet that exists on Amazon web servers, Amazon is really kind of the one corporation undergirding the American economy. And for that to be unionized would be an absolute game changer. And as you said, Tesla is the future of auto manufacturing, transportation, in many ways. And if that shop gets unionized, that's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah, and part of the pressure that the Teamsters could exert against UPS is just how much of the economy flows through that damn company, right? And so the idea that there would be a work stoppage at such an integral part of the logistical movement of our economy is a big deal. Like, that's big pressure for the bosses to cater to their demands. That's just think about Amazon and what that would mean for their workers to be able to have the power to shut down the economy if they don't get fair wages and conditions at their place of employment. Like, it would mean everything for that to happen. So yeah, man, that's just the kind of thing we want to keep you guys abreast of. But last thing before we get you out of here, Nando, you hit me up about a TV show that you're really excited about. I saw the commercials and I was like, I wonder what they're trying to do with this show. Like, the previews don't really give you a good indication of the sort of tone or the direction of the show. But please talk up the show so that people can start watching this thing.
Show's called The Curse. You can find it on Showtime, Paramount Plus. It's Nathan Fielder's new show, and it's his first fully scripted show. You know, Nathan Fielder, famous for Nathan For You, and The Rehearsal, both kind of, I would consider groundbreaking shows in each in their own right, you know, both incredibly innovative, hilarious, brilliant in many ways. Nathan Fielder, just one of our, the modern era's true creative and comedic geniuses.
My man, Andy Greenwald's doppelganger.
That's right.
He's talked about being stopped in like Silver Lake and shit, and people think him.
Oh my god, that's gotta make him super annoyed.
Oh my god, bro. Yeah. Terrible.
And so his new show is a fully fictionalized show, in which he and Emma Stone play a recently married couple who have been given a pilot to film an HGTV type show, or literally an HGTV show called Flipanthropy. Where they flip houses for charity, for good, you know, like in the community. And they're in this fictional southwestern community kind of outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, called Española, that's like impoverished and, you know, like a lot of like poor Mexicans and a lot of, you know, poor like Somali immigrants and shit like that, you know, that it's like a very downtrodden place. And so they come in there, they're these kind of good liberals who are going to help the community by, you know, redecorating their house and getting them jobs at local businesses that they encourage to, you know, that they give like subsidies to and shit like that. And so like, they're these kind of do-gooder liberals. And that what I think is just so brilliant about the satire of it and so precise about the satire of it, is that it shows how the ideology of liberalism, which purports to, at least modern day liberalism, this wasn't so much the case back in the day, but certainly modern day liberalism thinks that there are solutions to society's problems, namely poverty, and, you know, lack of access to education and things like that, that can be achieved by never challenging the entrenched power of the ruling class, right? That it's just like, there is some sort of solution in which, and Nathan Fielder says this like two or three times in the pilot, where he's like, everybody wins. Like, you guys get a job and a new house. I make money off my HGTV show, and this other business like also makes money, you know? So like, that's his whole thing. It's like, everybody wins, you know, like in the pilot, like, and I won't spoil it, but like, they just keep fucking everything up. Like they just like, you know, they're totally like, just from even on the surface level, they're totally paternalistic and cringe, you know, but on a fundamental level, like they're actually gentrifying the community and, you know, all that shit. And like, at one point, they get asked
worse.
They're making things worse. Yeah, they're making things worse. And they do it in kind of all manner of hilarious ways. And they even get asked about like whether they're gentrifiers by a local news crew. And Nathan Fielder has a hilarious line where he goes like, well, let me tell you that we take the G word very seriously. Like,
perfect. That's them to a T. So yeah, go check out The Curse. Obviously, that speaks to our sensibilities. You know, oftentimes we find ourselves, and I think people, it's like a common like sort of refrain, like, man, you guys are harder on the liberals than conservatives. It's just like, what is there to say about a right winger? It's just all so obvious and on the page. Like, there's nothing to say. There's no commentary to add. Libs just continue to just crack us the fuck up, man. I swear to God.
They're so much more fun to make fun of. I mean, the Republicans, I mean, the right wingers, like, it's so fucking easy. Like, it's just like, what is there to say? They're monsters. I get it. You know, like,
yes.
There's no analysis there. There's no interesting insight to be done. Like, they're just so plainly like.
They made a creationism museum in Kansas in which there's a statue of Jesus riding a dinosaur. How, like, what am I supposed to, like, it's right there for you. I don't need to tell you why that's ridiculous, okay? Anyway, go check out The Curse on Paramount Plus and Showtime. Make sure you're catching up. Staying in tune with the UAW and all their movements up at Jacobin.com. Shouts to my man, Boshkar. Yeah, man, we will see you guys next week. Peace out.
Later.